What needs to happen to protect our local lakes, rivers, and streams from the phosphorus that comes from agricultural runoff? And what can we do to keep this agricultural runoff from reaching our waterways? That's where we're focusing next. I'm Lee Rayburn, and our next guest research is all about that. Michael Holley is a professor of environmental engineering at UW-Green Bay, looking to keep phosphorus not just out of our waterways, but potentially to be able to return it to our agricultural fields. If you have questions about agricultural runoff, keeping our waters clean, you're welcome to our conversation at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. You can always send us an email as well to talk@wpr.org. And Michael, welcome to the show.
Hi, Lee. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm very curious about your research because you've developed, it seems to be, a system that is easily understandable, that makes a lot of sense. But when I think about agricultural runoff in our waterways, the first thing I think of is prevention. So can you talk a little bit about phosphorus, its importance in agriculture, and its effect on our waters?
Yeah. So phosphorus is an essential nutrient to grow crops. And however, this nutrient can cause ecological damage when it gets in high amounts into our water resources, and that can create some diminished property values and restrictions to recreation, fish kills, and degraded fish communities. So keeping that phosphorus on the land is a priority, and that's kind of our first line of defense. But even with our best management practices, we still get some phosphorus into our lakes, rivers, and streams.
So, but the first idea would be prevention, right? In your research, in your work, in your opinion, do we use too much phosphorus? Is there a way to limit phosphorus use, or are we maximizing what we can do in our fields today as you see it?
Yeah, farmers are doing their best, and they have the critical resources to reduce losses through what we call best management practices. So that's in-field practices, and that'll include applying the right rate of fertilizer and utilizing reduced tillage and cover crops. These are all very helpful. But even with the best practices currently, there's times in the year where we can still get some nutrients that go for the ride with soil when stormwater is introduced to fields, and that happens particularly in the late winter and the spring is where we have the most of our phosphorus losses, and that becomes a real challenge even with some of our best practices to keep all the phosphorus on the field. And, you know, agricultural losses of phosphorus as applied is only 1-2%. So we're doing a really good job in general as through farming and these conservation practices. However, that 1-2% can still create a lot of problems with our Great Lakes and inland lakes and rivers and streams.
Want to go to a question here from David in St. Croix County. David, hi.
I say I was glad to hear the guest say use that percentage of 1-2%. I'm on the Willow River here in St. Croix County, and there's actually very few farm fields that are right up next to the river, but we have an extremely high phosphorus level in this river. And I believe the highest contributor to that is the decay of deciduous leaves. I've done water samples in the backwaters at my place compared to the mainstream, and it's incredible the high phosphorus levels just by masses of deciduous leaves decaying in the water.
Huh. Michael, what do we know about the leaves and their role in phosphorus in our waterways?
Yeah, so we do have a lot of natural cycling of phosphorus through natural sources such as our forests. Right, we have in the Northwoods, the impact from, you know, agriculture is a lot lower, so we're seeing a lot less impaired water resources than, say, the southeastern and south central and even northeastern part of the state where we have a lot more agricultural practices. So there is, you know, natural cycling of phosphorus that can occur. And, you know, eutrophication, we can have natural high levels of P in waters. It's just the ones that we're really trying to prevent are the ones that we can have an impact on, which is our human inputs and human impairment to our streams and creeks.
I get it, because if we were to solve the phosphorus issues in the Willow River for David, it would mean cutting down these trees, and I'm not sure that that sounds like a solution. But those are natural phosphorus, natural causes of phosphorus. When we're talking about agricultural runoff, we're really talking about artificial or man-made phosphorus runoff, right?
Correct. Yeah. So that human impact, mm-hmm. you know, we mine there are a lot of phosphorus is mined in the state. It comes from a lot of livestock. That's where our P's coming from. But if you look nationwide, we do have additional inputs from mining of phosphate and use as a fertilizer, and that is where we can have a lot of our issues to these natural systems.
So you've sort of developed like a natural system with some potential for some man-made devices that helps try to keep this phosphorus out of our waterways. And I think, you know, it sounds kind of simple to me, but it also makes a lot of sense. Like it sounds like common sense, Michael, if you can explain a little bit of this pond and wetland system and how it works.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. So first of all, you know, these practices are what we call edge of field practices. So they would be used in combination with the infield practices. And even with the best conditions, cover crops, reduced tillage, and prescriptive applications of fertilizers, we can still have losses. And that's where we're trying to remove additional phosphorus from is using these edge of field practices, such as a pond. A pond is similar to, you know, a sedimentation basin, which is used in urban scenarios, and that's widely known for reducing erosion impacting streams. And so utilizing some of these practices in the agricultural landscape take some modification. We want to be very aware that taking any land out of a producer is economically a disadvantage for a farmer. So we want to modify these practices so that the farmer isn't taking out a whole lot of land out of their practice. And we can use engineering and other technology to have the best approach at the edge of field while preserving that cropland.
And so you think of a pond and it becomes, and you were talking earlier about how these nutrients that go for the ride with the soil, does this pond help then separate the soil from the water? Does it clean? How does that work in terms of keeping the phosphorus out?
Yeah, that's correct. So these, just having a pond gives a chance for the soil to settle to the bottom of a pond before it's introduced into a stream and downstream to lakes. So we're just letting gravity do the work for us. Like, we're not introducing any chemicals or physical means to do that. However, these ponds for finer sediment need to be quite large. And this is where we need some of these engineering approaches. But you can think about it this way. It's almost like taking a glass and capturing that runoff right at the edge of field and putting it on your counter. After a while, you'll see that soil go to the bottom like you would in an Italian dressing. You'd see some separation.
Oh.
Some separation. And yeah, and you'd see like basically like instead of the roasted the pepper and the onion going to the bottom, you'll see the sole come out.
So then what about the role of wetlands in this system? Again, it's a natural tool, but how does it work?
Yeah, the wetlands are a good place just to increase the biodiversity. They don't have a great removal of phosphorus unless you harvest the plants. But it's amazing what we've seen at our research town in Wrightstown when we introduced a little sedimentation basin. We have all these ducks that use the pond now. We have herring, we have fish. I never expected to see, especially it's not directly connected, it's just to a ditch that goes dry. It's just amazing to see all the life that are in these ponds when, you know, we can look at them as wetlands, then we start to see a lot of benefit to the community and property values as well.
So that would be a benefit, but for the farmer, I feel like it's already margins are slim. It's not easy for a farmer in Wisconsin today. And how big of a lift is this phosphorus prevention system when you incorporate it into the economics of a Wisconsin farm?
Yeah, so this is where we water quality trading can really help us in the state.
Oh.
So water quality trading, we have municipal wastewater treatment plants that are trying to remove more and more phosphorus, and that takes more advanced technology. We're getting to levels where we're having to use filters and other things that are very costly and chemicals for wastewater treatment plants. So instead of them trying to squeeze, juice out of a turnip, we can capture this phosphorus at the edge of field where this phosphorus is at higher levels, and we can remove it with the soil through sedimentation. And so economically, if you look at the economic impacts from that phosphorus on a pound basis, they did a study in the Upper Yahara. It's around $45 to $75 for each pound of phosphorus loss to recreation, property values. So then when you have lake groups that are willing to, put money to this effort, this is where farmers could then be getting paid to remove some of this phosphorus from the system to avoid some of these economic damages.
So all of a sudden, Michael, you're talking about this as a potential source of income as opposed to expense for farmers.
That is my number one priority for research at the moment, is to make this a profit. And this takes a lot of engineering to do this, because we have to try to reduce the size and we got to be efficient, right? We got to remove a lot of phosphorus at low concentrations. But a lot of this technology is used in wastewater treatment plant. It's just applying it at the edge of field is the current challenge what we're working at.
Michael Holley, our guest, professor of environmental engineering at UW Green Bay, talking about his research of keeping phosphorus out of our waterways through agricultural runoff at the edge of field before it gets there, and how this could benefit the farmers in the long run as opposed to making it a burden. If you have a question, you're welcome to join us at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And Michael, did I see this right, that there may be a way to actually capture this phosphorus and return it to the agricultural fields, that there could be an aspect of recycling this fertilizer?
That is definitely a goal. However, that's not going to offset any costs to the farmers, because phosphorus is pretty cheap with manure, because currently it's treated as a waste. But our systems, if in these ponds, we can recover some of that soil that eroded and put it back onto the field. Or for these, we have phosphorus reactive media. That is, we're using iron, which is, very common element, they'll react with phosphorus, and we can remove that phosphorus from the iron and put it back on the landscape as well. So that's definitely an added benefit, but the main driver will be reducing some of these downstream impacts to recreation and other fish kills and aquatic ecosystems. And
so are there some, do you incorporate any sort of, what sort of devices would be used in this system? You've got wetlands, you've got a sediment trap pond. Is there some engineering that goes in, like machinery or stuff like that, that would be a part of this system, Michael?
Yeah. So I think we need, just looking at these ponds, what are they capable of doing? These ponds do a great job with the particles. So again, like that Italian dressing, like looking at that roasted bell pepper at the bottom and those other pieces, right? They do a great job of removing those particles, but there's other phosphorus forms in that runoff. There's dissolved phosphorus. So that's phosphorus you can't see with your eye.
Mm.
And so removing that phosphorus is more difficult. That phosphorus is around 30%, or sorry, only 30% is removed, 20 to 30% is removed by these pond wetland systems. So then to really be effective and, you know, get closer to that 100 or 90% removal and 95% removal, we need to start looking at these reactive media filters, which involves some pumping. You can think about them as basically a Brita filter for our lakes. So instead of removing chlorine and iron and other things in our water, they're removing phosphorus through a reaction with that media. So a Brita filter, there's these tiny black particles in there. It's activated carbon, and that can remove some of those chlorine and other metals and even PFAS. We're using actually just recycled metal materials to remove that phosphorus. So iron has a really high reactivity with phosphorus. So if we use that iron, we can remove some of that remaining dissolved phosphorus.
So it sounds like the struggle here is not so much the sediment that runs off, because that can be controlled by a pond, but once phosphorus dissolves into water, that sounds like where the big challenge might lie, at least from what I'm hearing from you, Michael.
That's right. That's from an engineering perspective. Yeah. That's the real research objective.
Linda from Sawyer County called, couldn't stick around, but she's seeing farm fields that are being tilled right up to the edge of the road, using every bit of property possible. And she says it's destroying the ditches. Is that a practice that you've become aware of, Michael? And she, Linda wants to know, what are the ecological impacts that stem from the loss of some of these runoff ditches?
Yeah. So, I mean, if we're incorporating those best management practices, which are our first barrier, these conservation practices that are actually offset by NRCS, your local NRCS office can give you some money to do that, then we don't have that occurring. So we do have the practices to reduce that impacts to ditches.
Hmm.
And so, you know, our approach should be looking at this system holistically, right? So trying to prevent, that soil from leaving the field is the first step. Then also removing the stuff that does get to our ditches is the next step. And then even further would be the lake solution. How do we remove it once it gets to the lakes? And that requires even additional engineering. So we have to look at to complete that. But yeah, as you get down from the field to the lake, it requires more engineering to remove that additional P.
Which is why edge of forest or edge of field would become so essential, because that would be, it sounds to me, the easiest place to catch it if you can.
Right. Catch it before the ditch, catch it before the stream and before the lake.
How are you sharing this work with some of the students around your area, and what are they learning from you, and maybe what are you learning from them?
Yeah, so I've been really fortunate here at Green Bay. The environmental engineers have been very, students have been very interested in the research that's on campus. And I even have electrical engineers and other disciplines are willing to work with me. And I think that's where we're, you know, where we can really approach these wicked problems is to kind of think just even outside of environmental engineering to see how we can, you know, have systems for sensing, for say, for these reactive media systems. They require sensing of clogging performance, and that requires, you know, me to look in these other departments. So I'm looking, I'm really learning from them and their experience utilizing some of their background for these technologies for a larger impact to my work.
I'm thinking of David's call earlier about the natural phosphorus that comes from the leaves that fall into the Willow River where he is. And could some of your work be used to potentially remove some of the natural phosphorus that gets into our waterways? Is that something that would be possible with the research that you're working on?
Yeah, so that's something that we're looking to develop as the next iteration is.
Oh,
yeah, we're using you know the dissolved pee filter, that Brita filter.
And when you say pee, you mean phosphorus, right?
Yes. All right. So that dissolved phosphorus.
You're using the elements. Chemical table. Yeah, and I am not familiar with that, so it took me a second.
Yeah, that's okay. So yeah, phosphorus. So that dissolved phosphorus that we're removing at the edge of field, that can be used for lakes that, you know, we could then use a pump and treat system for those lakes. We'd really want to identify pinch points, though, because realistically, are we going to be able to pump large bodies of water? No. But we can look and see in the lake, where are these low-hanging fruits of phosphorus? Where do we have the highest concentrations? Where can we
I think of like algae blooms. Wouldn't algae blooms be an indicator that that's where your high levels of phosphorus are? And can you target those areas or perhaps target areas that might be potential algae blooms and prevent them in the first place?
You're exactly correct.
Oh,
because our algae, they're the most effective at uptaking phosphorus. They'll beat the wetland plants. They'll beat any other organisms. They can take out phosphorus in hours compared to plants.
Wow.
So you're exactly correct. If you have a higher amounts of algae in an area, then you're going to see higher amounts of phosphorus. But it's kind of a story of the deep dissolved phosphorus that was there because once you're seeing the algae, the phosphorus is within those really small plants called algae.
Man, it sounds like you've done a lot of work on this, but it also sounds like you've got a career's worth of work ahead of you. Like you've got a game plan here for where you'd like to take this work. Where do you see this work ending up? Where do you hope this work ends up? And I've got about a minute left, Michael.
I really hope, you know, to continue to be successful in obtaining funding to progress this so that farmers are seeing this as a way to increase their revenue so that they can remove the phosphorus from everywhere from the field to the lake, and it will generate some income on the farm and also it will preserve our water quality.
And I got to say, your hope is my hope. And I thank you for sharing your work with us. And I invite you back to tell us where you're going with it and what you found. I really appreciate it, Michael. Thank you so much.
Great. Thanks, Lee. Love to be back anytime.
Look forward to it. Michael Holley is a professor of environmental engineering at UW Green Bay, and his research, as you heard, helps protect local lakes, rivers, and streams by removing phosphorus from agricultural runoff before it gets to them. Want to thank our team today for making it all possible. Clara Nypert, Joel Patenaud, Jeff Robbins, our executive producer, Jill Nadeau. I want to thank you for being a part of the show as well. I'm Lee Rayburn, and you are listening to WPR News.